the following program contains graphic material, including offensive language. Viewer discretion is advised.
Without freedom of the press, no democratic form of government could exist.
We switch you now to London.
I'm standing on a rooftop, looking out over London.
Good night, and good luck.
Good evening from our CBS newsroom in New York.
NBC presents Chet Huntley and David Brinkley.
From ABC, this is World News Tonight. With Peter Jennings in London, Max Robinson in Chicago, and from our desk in Washington, Frank Reynolds.
Good evening.
This historic legislation, the telecommunications law, will create many, many high-wage jobs. Will create opportunity and better lives for all Americans.
When the press is free, the people of a country are free. When the press is not free, the people of a country are in danger of slavery.
Keeping you informed with information, news, and the views of people making the news. It's the Nicole Sandler Show on NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
Signing Bibles in Alabama caused some liberal howls. At least he didn't throw them like he did those paper towels. Though people usually sign books that they wrote to keep it real, Trump wrote as much of the Bible as he did the Art of the Deal.
Bibles and hush money, Trump signs the best. And if you ask real nicely, he'll sign your chest. Get a few more far-right judges. Who cares how much truth Trump fudges? But the Bibles and hush money both are blessed.
Trump may not know his two front teeth from 2 Corinthians, but he sure has first-hand knowledge of all 7 deadly sins. He supports traditional marriage, which is in between a man, his wife, 2 porn stars, and a model who's 15.
Bibles and hush money, Trump's acolytes. Don't need to be consistent, we pick our fights. We don't mind his fornicating, the gay sex lives need regulating, along with women's reproductive rights.
Trump understands religion and the faith which it demands. His favorite part of praying is the laying on of hands. In fact, the only difference between God and Donald Trump is that God doesn't think she's Donald Trump.
Bibles and hush money, sure we used to say. We wanted moral leaders, but not today. So don't ask, what would Jesus do?
He was a socialist and a Jew.
But Bibles and hush money are okay. We'll lose our scruples to defend a rapidly right-wing agenda, which makes us feel as sunny as a Playboy bunny. To Bibles and hush money, let us pray.
Amen.
Ah, yes. Yes, yes, yes. Lauren Mayer, getting things started for a brand new week here on the Nicole Sandler Show. Welcome to it. Lauren's comedy, you find her on Facebook, on Twitter, on YouTube, especially for those videos. And I can tell it's already a good week because I was able to play the video without the echo. Anyway, the gremlins in my studio sometimes attack, but today all is good. Except our president is certifiable. The man is sick. He spent the weekend holed up in the White House tweeting. Donald Trump tweeted more than 50 times over the weekend, and he's fucking nuts. I just want to share something with you. George Conway, you know who he is. He is the husband of Kellyanne Conway. This is the weirdest couple I've ever seen. I mean, even more so than Mary Madeline and James Carville. And I never, ever got that one. Ugh, just the thought. I'm sorry. Sorry for putting that mental picture in your head. But George Conway and Kellyanne, now there's another weird fucking couple. I appreciate George Conway. He's an attorney, and he has been calling out Donald Trump for the deranged person that he is. So George Conway, earlier today, I guess it was early this morning, tweeted out, well, let me see if I can find the thread, what prompted this. And I'm sure it was, you know, it was responding to the insanity that Trump puts out there. And So Donald Trump tweeted one of his millions of tweets over the weekend, something about George Conway. Brad Parscale, who's Trump's campaign director for 2020. He was the Facebook guy who ran Trump's social media stuff for the 2016 campaign. Anyway, Brad Parscale tweeted last night, we all know that at Real Donald Trump turned down Mr. Kellyanne Conway for a job he desperately wanted. He barely worked at the Justice Department and was either fired / quit, didn't want the scrutiny. Now he hurts his wife because he's jealous of her success. POTUS doesn't even know him. And of course, Donald Trump retweeted that with the line, a total loser. That's what he is. He's a total loser. So George Conway tweeted that and wrote, congratulations. You just guaranteed that millions of more people are going to learn about narcissistic personality disorder and malignant narcissism. Great job. And then in his next tweet, George Conway wrote, tell us, Donald Trump, which of these diagnostic criteria do you not satisfy? And he posted from, I guess, I want to say the PDR, but I think that's drugs, the physician's desk reference. But the Bible for doctors on, psychological disorders. And again, I apologize for not knowing the technical name of the book from whence this came, but narcissistic personality disorder. And it is diagnostic criteria 301.81. So this is like official stuff. All right. So narcissistic personality disorder. Now, just listen, I'm going to read to you. This is direct from a medical journal. I'm not adding anything. I'm not embellishing anything. I'm just reading to you the diagnostic criteria for narcissistic personality disorder. Ready? A pervasive pattern of grandiosity in fantasy or behavior, need for admiration, and lack of empathy, beginning by early adulthood and present in a variety of contexts, as indicated by five or more of the following. One, has a grandiose sense of self-importance, e.g., exaggerates achievements and talents, expects to be recognized as superior without commensurate achievements. Yeah, it's the DSIM-4. Thank you very much, Sun Tzu Tech, in the YouTube chat room. Number two, is preoccupied with fantasies of unlimited success, power, brilliance, beauty, or ideal love. Yeah. Number three, believes that he or she is special and unique and can only be understood by or should associate with other special or high status people or institutions. Yeah. Number four, and this one is just a given, requires excessive admiration. Yeah. Number five, has a sense of entitlement, i.e., unreasonable expectations of especially favorable treatment or automatic compliance with his or her expectations. Mm-hmm. Number six, is interpersonally exploitive, i.e., takes advantage of others to achieve his or her own ends. Yeah. Number seven, lacks empathy, is unwilling to recognize or identify with the feelings and needs of others. You think? Number 8, is often envious of others or believes that others are envious of him or her. And number 9, shows arrogant, haughty behaviors or attitudes. Every single one of them, every single one of those contexts, there are 9 of them. It's if there's present in 5 or more, then that person has narcissistic personality disorder. And I think it's a whole lot more serious than that. The man is sick. There's something seriously wrong with him. Now, you know, a lot of people say, well, can you imagine if Obama did this? Forget Obama. Any Democrat who would have done any number of the things that this moron does. It strains credulity. And that's not putting it bluntly enough. I mean, this is the gaslighting of America. It is opposite world. We live in opposite world.
Everything you thought you knew, you never knew it all. Sideways is straight ahead. Facts no longer matter. Reality is now fiction. There's a signpost up ahead. Your next stop, opposite world.
Yeah, Diane in the chat room says sociopaths can't feel sympathy nor empathy. And that's what he is. He may be a narcissist. He may have technically narcissistic personality disorder, but he's a sociopath. He's a megalomaniacal sociopath. And I really fear for, you know, the future of this country. I mean, people are talking about, can we get through another 4 years of him? I don't think we can get through another 2 years of him. And it's all, you know, everyone's saying he was unraveling over the weekend. There was nothing raveled to begin with, nothing to unravel from. And people, I went to do this event. I told you I volunteer sometimes with this Sawgrass Nature Center. It's a wildlife refuge here in the town that I live in. And so I did an event with them last weekend. And the woman, she's young, so I call her a girl, but she's a woman. The woman who is the volunteer coordinator worked this event with me. And so we were talking. I mean, I never really just, you know, talked one-on-one. And she was asking what I did, and I told her, and, you know, told her I do political talk radio. And she's like, oh, what are your politics? I said, I'm very liberal. She's like, oh, I'm a conservative. And I said, you don't support Trump? She said, well, yeah, actually, I do. It was an awkward few hours. I got to say, I don't get it. I just don't get it. All right. Anyway, it is Tuesday. Gotta Laugh is back. We've been without her for a couple of weeks. First, I had a power outage here. And then last week, her house was tented for termites. But she's back today. So we'll take a quick time out. We'll do the recorded version of What's News. We'll be back with Gotta Laugh next. Don't go away. I'm Nicole Sandler. It's the NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
I read the news today, oh boy.
It's time for Nicole Sandler's What's News from NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
Congress is on recess this week, and the 2020 Democratic contenders are on the campaign trail. There were 2 televised town halls Monday night. MSNBC had Senator Kirsten Gillibrand, and CNN had Senator Elizabeth Warren. Warren called for the end of the Electoral College.
I believe we need a constitutional amendment that protects the right to vote for every American citizen and to make sure that vote gets counted. We need to put some federal muscle behind that, and we need to repeal every one of the voter suppression laws that is out there right now. And I'll tell you one more. We need to make sure that every vote counts. And the way we can make that happen is that we can have national voting, and that means get rid of the Electoral College and every vote.
Gillibrand addressed Donald Trump's hateful and dangerous rhetoric and challenged voters to do the right thing.
Each one of us has a choice today to say, will we defend this democracy? Will we as Americans fight for what we believe in? Will we as Americans reject the hate that her family has to go through every day? Will we say this is not who we are as Americans? Will we take back that right to vote through making sure we have voting rights? Will you kick money out of politics and make sure we have publicly funded elections? Will you fight with every fiber of your being because everything that you care about is at stake?
Former President George W. Bush appeared at a naturalization ceremony Monday where he praised the nation's immigrant history and called on lawmakers to deliver comprehensive immigration reform.
America's elected representatives have a duty to regulate who comes in and when. In meeting this responsibility, it helps to remember that America's immigrant history made us who we are. Amid all the complications of policy, may we never forget that immigration is a blessing and a strength.
At least three people are dead and five injured after a shooting inside a tram in the Netherlands. Police have arrested three people in connection with the shooting, including one man believed to be the shooter. They haven't ruled out terrorism. The response by New Zealand Prime Minister Jacinda Ardern is being praised by American Muslims, pointing out how her sincerity and condemnation of the killer's actions and ideology sharply contrast with the way Trump has responded to white supremacists in the past.
That quiet Friday afternoon has become our darkest of days. Mr. Speaker, there is one person at the center of this terror attack against our Muslim community in New Zealand. A 28-year-old man, an Australian citizen, has been charged with one count of murder. Other charges will follow. He will face the full force of the law in New Zealand. The families of the fallen will have justice. He sought many things from his act of terror, but one was notoriety, and that is why you will never hear me mention his name. He is a terrorist. He is a criminal. He is an extremist. But he will, when I speak, be nameless. And to others, I implore you, speak the names of those who were lost rather than the name of the man who took them. He may have sought notoriety, but we in New Zealand will give him nothing.
That's how a leader sounds. The government is expected to announce changes to its gun laws this week. Ardern saying there is a, quote, sense of urgency and resolve that the reforms would not be derailed by the country's pro-gun lobby. Disgraced lawmaker and noted white supremacist Congressman Steve King of Iowa shared a meme imagining civil war between red and blue states that said red states have, quote, 8 trillion bullets. Seriously. Another day and more stories of devastation due to climate. Hundreds of homes have flooded in several Midwestern states after swollen rivers breached at least a dozen levees in Nebraska, Iowa, Missouri, and Kansas. And the flooding has been blamed for at least 4 deaths. Authorities warned Monday that the flooding could go on for some time as the traditional wet season hasn't even begun. Nebraska's Governor Pete Ricketts called the flooding, quote, the most widespread disaster we have had in our state's history. It is a global problem. A powerful cyclone ripped through parts of southeastern Africa over the weekend. Aid agency officials say Cyclone Idai destroyed 90% of the Mozambique city of Beira, home to about 500,000 people. At least 84 have died, but the president of Mozambique said he has a reason to believe the death toll will climb above 1,000. There may have been snow in California a few weeks ago, but there's a giant snowflake in Fresno. Congressman Devin Nunes sued Twitter, two anonymous Twitter accounts, and political consultant Liz Mayer for more than $250 million, alleging that the defendants engaged in negligence, defamation per se, insulting words, and civil conspiracy. In the suit, Nunes accuses Twitter of having a political agenda by allowing two anonymous accounts, Devin Nunes' mom and Devin Nunes' cow, at Devin Cow, and Mayor to attack, defame, and demean him. And that's just a bit of what's news for now. I'm Nicole Sandler. If you appreciate these reports and the Nicole Sandler Show, I hope you'll consider making a contribution. My work is 100% listener supported, and I can't do it without your help. Find out more at NicoleSandler.com/donate.
This is a huge, huge issue.
And we're talking about it. The Nicole Sandler Show on Progressive Voices and NicoleSandler.com.
And now, it's time for The Nicole Sandler Show segment, Shooting the Shit with Laffy.
Yay, she's back today. So let's get Got a Laugh on the line so we can talk about all the insane stuff happening in the news. Hello?
Oh, yes. You've reached the How We Know Trump's a White Supremacist hotline.
Cool.
Mm-hmm. Press 1 if you think Trump's a white supremacist because he's white and he's a supremacist. Press 2 if you think Trump's a white supremacist because Sean Hannity keeps saying he isn't.
Yeah.
Press 3 if you think Trump's a white supremacist because he offered to autograph the New Zealand Killer's Manifesto and then send it out in tweets.
Oh, God.
Have a nice day. I'm so glad the termites are over. Oh, my God.
I'll bet. So you're back in the house and everything is
good? We're back in the house.
Okay,
yeah,
good.
Everything's fine.
Uh-huh.
The couple of cracked tiles on the roof and some plants died, but you know,
okay.
Just the usual.
But before we move on, I just have to say something.
Yeah.
Okay.
The president is not a white supremacist. I'm not sure how many times we have to say that.
Maybe until it sinks in.
Maybe he wouldn't have to keep saying that if it, you know, wasn't true.
Mm-hmm.
How dare you call me, you know, a bully as I hit you, you know,
right.
It's just the most ridiculous thing.
But that's the guy who, and apparently they're going to be taking the acting off his title. So that's the White House chief of staff who goes on the Sunday shows and says, the president is not a white supremacist. How many times do we have to say that? Does nobody else see a problem with that? I mean, it's just surreal. It's just we're living in this alternate universe that just nothing makes sense.
Oh, I know. Everything. Well, you know what you and I always say, opposite world.
It is. Well, I just played the opposite world thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
But before we move on, there's two other things. I watched TV yesterday and I must have seen this fucking clip literally 24 times easily, or heard it on the radio, whatever. It was over and over and over again. And let me play it for you, and then I'll tell you what my problem is with it. It's the Joe Biden thing where he made a gaffe and said, it hinted that he's running.
I'm told you're criticized by the new left. I have the most progressive record of anybody running for the, anybody who would run.
So they're all calling attention to the fact that he said, ooh, anybody that would run.
Yeah.
Right? That, like, that was the thing that you know, made you do a double take. No. The thing that made me do a double take was the first thing he said.
Me too. Thank you. Thank you. I'm so glad you said that.
I have the most progressive record of anybody who's running for president.
What the heck was that about? I don't know. And it just went by everybody. And I'm kind of listening
every time
to it, and I thought maybe I heard wrong.
Now,
maybe he didn't say that.
Every time they played that clip, and it played ad nauseum throughout
yes!
the day and the night yesterday. It was not. It was on every fucking show, on every damn newscast, everything, and nobody commented on the fact that Joe Biden said he's the most progressive candidate in the field. Oh my God.
I know. And the whole followed by commentary that the reason he could beat Trump is because he's like a, you know, centrist.
Yeah,
well, then,
right.
If that's the case, then how can you say those things at the same time?
Yeah.
I'm so glad you brought that up. I've been meaning to bring it up and I never did.
Just had to get that out of my off my chest. OK,
yeah.
One more thing. I watched the entire Trump press conference with the guy from Brazil, which is there's Trump again sidling up to oppressive leaders, just saying that his new
best
friend.
He's the Trump of the tropics.
Of course.
That's his nickname.
Oh, God. But before they did the Rose Garden 2-2, which there was nothing in there. He calls on the fucking Daily Caller. Give me a break.
Yeah.
Again, opposite world. But before that, inside the Oval Office, they had a press spray where they, you know, called out questions to him. And Kristen Welker of MSNBC or NBC asked, you know, why are you still picking on John McCain? The guy's dead. And here's what he said. I'm sorry. This is the only clip I'll play of him for today.
President, why are you attacking Senator John McCain?
I'm very unhappy that he didn't repeal and replace
Obamacare, as you know. He campaigned on repealing and replacing Obamacare for years. And then he got to a vote and he said, thumbs down. And our country would have saved $1 trillion and we would have had great health care. So he campaigned. He told us hours before that he was going to repeal and replace. And then for some reason,
right,
I think,
you know what? And that's enough. I don't even need to play the rest of it. It wasn't repeal and replace. Right. It was repeal. There was no replace in that piece of shit of a bill that the Republicans tried to push through. All it would have done is take away the protections we enjoy under the Affordable Care Act, which in my case allows me to actually purchase health insurance. Go figure. Why didn't anybody say there was no replace in that bill? He kept saying repeal and replace, repeal and replace, repeal and
because
replace.
Because they're obsessing.
There was no replace.
Because they're all obsessing over the John McCain stuff.
I know.
They're obsessing on that more than they are on any
call
of the
him
other
out on his lies. This man
Sorry?
Is a, call him out on his lies.
Yes,
this man
of
is allowed
I
to lie with impunity.
Your tweet about that.
It's just so fucking frustrating.
Yes.
Okay.
They just let it slide because the new thing to jump on was newest McCain, thing he said.
Because he smeared McCain again because, I was never impressed with him anyway. I never will be. I mean, what a little man. Again, go back to the narcissistic personality disorder description. I mean, he's just a sick individual. There's just something seriously, seriously wrong with him.
And it blows my mind
that I meet people who say, well, you know, I don't like his tweeting and, you know, some things about his personality I don't like, but he's doing a good job.
No, he isn't. I would like to hear them say that after their own sons and daughters or themselves have no health care, like what you would go through.
Yep.
And also when the climate change becomes so bad that more wars break out, that the immigration problem changes for the worse all over the world, and that people are going to have to find new places to live in the United States because it will be no longer inhabitable where they are now. You know,
but the rest of the world is going to be just as bad. Did you hear on What's News this giant cyclone that hit Africa and what's going on in the Midwest? Of course, our corporate media doesn't cover it because it's Kansas and Nebraska and, you know, flyover country. They're not even mentioning it. But like Nebraska is completely underwater. Underwater.
No. This, underwater.
And this
and
is,
people from those states are tweeting, why isn't nobody covering? Why are we being ignored?
Yes.
Have you seen that?
Yes. Nebraska, Iowa, Missouri, and Kansas. Look, I agree. Mm-hmm. No places I'd want to live. But the fact of the matter is people live there and they're being flooded out of their homes.
And
this is the new normal.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
Now I got those
it
off my chest.
It doesn't really matter.
No. Oh, my
just
God.
Weather.
Yeah. Well, you know, anyway, call Trump out on his lies. Look, he smeared John McCain. He's done that a million times, but you let him get away with saying that, you know, that they were going to repeal and replace. They weren't replacing it with anything. Stop enabling this guy. That's my plea to the universe, to the media. And I get, you know, I tweeted out, why does nobody call him out on this? And everyone, they don't want to lose, access.
Oh, please. Like it matters anyway.
Right. Exactly.
Oh, boy. Okay. Right. Well, let's go for Tweetyville because I've got plenty.
Let's do it.
Here we go.
Welcome to my tweet.
I'm conflicted now. Do we still play this? Or do we not? I watched the Leaving Neverland thing, and I'm really disgusted.
Oh, I didn't watch that.
Oh, God.
I couldn't bring myself to watch it.
Oh, my God, it's bad.
Well, maybe we use the other version, the original version.
Well, I do. What? I do this, and then I...
No, I mean, are you talking about the...
The Michael Jackson part, part.
You go with the original version, the earlier version of that.
But this is an important question. Do you never listen to... Michael Jackson's music or the Jackson 5 again because he was a sexual predator?
It's like the Woody Allen question.
I know. Do you watch
it's
a Woody Allen movie?
It's the art versus the person.
I know.
Right now it's...
Yeah, I know.
I can't bring myself to. I don't know how I'll feel as time goes on. I mean, art stands on its own too.
Yeah.
And I love his art. Yep. I love some of Woody Allen's. I love his old stand-up.
Ryan Adams. I'm a huge Ryan Adams fan. And then this story, I mean, I was one of his biggest champions. I did, I hosted and produced the world premiere broadcast of the last Whiskey Town album. I know a lot of people don't know who Ryan Adams is, but he was in a band called Whiskey Town, and he's got a solo career, and he's prolific, and he's rock and roll. And I was, I thought he was brilliant. And now I just, I'm repulsed by him because of what he did.
And all the others who have been nailed on in the Me Too movement and everything else.
I mean,
you know, there are so many people. Look at John Wayne. I've never been a John Wayne fan, but you know, all the crap he spewed out, there are so many people in the public eye who are despicable in their private lives. I'm not sure what to do with it. I honestly don't know what to say.
I don't know either. Anyway.
Yeah. All right.
It's time for the tweet spot.
Yeah. Here we go. So The Hill tweeted out, Florida, this you'll be into this one. Florida committee on Tuesday approved
medical
a measure
marijuana.
That significant.
No?
Huh?
Medical marijuana. They approved it. We can now smoke marijuana in Florida. They approved medical marijuana a few years ago, but you couldn't smoke the buds. You can only vape it. So they approved it. I thought that's where you were going. Okay, I'm sorry.
No.
Go on. I won't interrupt again.
It's a good one, though.
Shows what's on my mind. That's all.
Yeah, exactly. The Florida House Committee on Tuesday approved a measure that could significantly curtail a state constitutional amendment restoring voting rights to former felons.
Yep.
The measure, which would require felons to pay all court fees and costs before becoming eligible to vote, past along a party line vote. Blah, blah, blah.
Like a poll tax to me.
It does. Isn't that odd?
Isn't it? Florida.
They would never do something like that.
Oh, God, no. No.
Anyway, here's one that you retweeted.
Okay.
My comment was, today in theocracy. This is from Michelle Kaczynski, who was with CNN, and she said, now, the State Department won't release any transcript of Pompeo's – is my heater blowing on here again? Hold on.
Yes.
Turn that off. Okay. The State Department won't release any transcript of Pompeo's briefing with faith-based media only, nor a list of who was invited, who attended, and whether a range of faiths was included.
Ouch. Oh, my God. Oh, my fucking God.
Yeah.
First of all, faith-based media only?
Yeah, what's that about?
It sounds like fake news to me.
Mm-hmm. But as long as God's involved, that's okay. Because, you know, God gave us Trump. God wanted Trump to be president, which means, of course, that God didn't want somebody else to be.
Yeah. You know, speaking of Donald Trump's kind of religion, his kind of Christianity, there's a clip going around the interwebs that Twitter has not pulled down that I actually saw in my feed twice today. And it's Jerry Falwell Jr. speaking at Liberty University in that big arena. Let me just play for you a quick clip
of what
he said.
Yeah.
If some of those people in that community center had what I've got in my back pocket right now.
These are people of God.
Is it illegal to pull it out? I don't know.
Oh, God.
Is that... Anyway.
Excuse me while I whip this out.
I've always thought if more good people had concealed carry permits, then we could end those Muslims before they walk in and kill us.
There's your modern
man
day evangelical Christian man of God.
Yeah, yeah. A pro-life family guy.
Right. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. And all the people at Liberty University who are, you know, studying the good word.
And applauding.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. Yeah. Okay, so you were talking about Brad Parscale's tweet about Mr. Kellyanne Conway. So Daniel Dale jumps in and he says, George Conway with – okay, so let me read Parscale's tweet again so that we have an answer.
Okay.
To that directly.
Yes.
He said, we all know that Trump turned down Mr. Kellyanne Conway for a job he desperately wanted. He barely worked at the Justice Department and was either fired or quit. Didn't want the scrutiny. Now he hurts his wife. Da, da, da. Okay, so Daniel Dale says, George Conway withdrew himself from consideration for the job as head of DOJ's civic division. He did not work there briefly and then get, quote, fired or quit. He later told Yahoo that he withdrew because, quote, the administration is like a shit show in a dumpster fire.
There you go.
Just
that
so
makes
you
more
know.
Sense. Can you imagine what goes on in their house at night? I can't even, unless Kellyanne Conway is just
a fraud.
Yeah, a double agent. You know, she I just don't get it.
I think she is a leaker, so maybe
yes,
she is. But
she is
a
leaker.
Both of their politics are conservative. You know, I just had this conversation on Twitter with somebody about Mr. Conway sucked us in. We didn't need to get sucked in. People are giving him adulation.
Yeah.
But he is a Trump. He was a Trump supporter, and he's proud of his wife for her work in the White House.
Yes.
And he cried when Trump got elected.
Oh, God.
Tears of joy.
I cried.
I did too. Yeah. I sobbed. But he's no angel. He just happens to be an anti-Trumper now.
Of course. And
so
there are lots of them out
stop.
There. Hmm? Right. There are lots of them out there. And yes, people
right.
should stop
right.
giving. I mean, I give him credit for speaking the truth and obviously putting his wife
right.
in an uncomfortable position.
Yeah.
It's just.
But like any anti-Trumper, I mean, look at what's her name who's on all the time. Oh,
Jennifer
my goodness,
Rubin.
Rosen. Rubin. Yes,
Jennifer
sorry.
Rubin.
Thank you.
Right. From
you know,
the Washington
just what
Post.
I was talking about.
Yeah.
You know, she's wonderful when it comes to anti-Trump, and then she opens her mouth about something that's
about
anti-Dem
oh,
or anti-liberal.
God. She's so anti-Bernie. It's. I mean, she should change her name to Joy-Ann Reid.
but I'm saying, but people, you know, are bowing down to the anti-Trumpers because they're good at it.
Yep.
And we like that.
And it needs to be said. But
yes,
yeah,
but
know.
They're not angels. They're not on our side.
Nope. Okay.
They're only anti-Trump.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Here's a fun little primer on pronunciation.
Oh.
On Meet the Press, I guess Katie Chur did a little segment on how to pronounce people's names. And I'm so glad she did that because I'm so sick of people mispronouncing names like Rachel Maddow. It's not Maddow. It's
right.
Maddow,
yep.
like shadow.
Right.
She said it's Beto. She wrote out
right,
phonetically.
Right, it's Beto, not Beto.
Beto, right?
Right.
Buttigieg for...
Buttigieg, like boot,
yeah.
edge.
Edge.
It's that easy,
and then,
edge. Yes.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And then Kamala. Like the,
Kamala.
And
then, I've been corrected on that a few times, yes.
Yep, Kamala.
Kamala.
Not Kamala, nope. not Kamala.
Right.
Kamala. So
right.
it's Beto.
It's not like Pamela. It's comma.
Comma.
Right.
Like the word comma. Right. Exactly. And
Beto
is
Elizabeth
Beto.
Warren and
Say
Bernie
again?
Elizabeth Warren and Bernie Sanders, just in case you were wondering.
Very good.
Yeah.
All right. So that's that. Just
yeah.
a fun. That
Got
was
it.
Just a little fun.
Yes. Okay.
Act. Okay.
Yeah.
And speaking of that, Leslie Abravanel of what? What is she with the New York Post?
I don't know.
She said media. Less Beto, more Buttigieg. Tuesday thoughts.
Yeah, no kidding. The obsession with Beto is really fucking annoying. And I gotta say, there's a bit of a question. Now, look, I get it. I'm a little biased towards Bernie Sanders, who raised a record breaking $5.9 million in one day. Well, the Beto camp finally came out with their first day numbers, and all of a sudden, well, they raised $6.1 million. But there's a little bit of a question. There was he had a surplus of about $4.5 million left over in his Senate campaign that he gave to the Texas Democratic Party. Well, once he declared for the presidency, the Texas Democratic Party returned that money to him. So the question is, because Beto's camp hasn't released how many individual donors made up that $6.1 million or what the average donation was, they're not giving out that information. So the speculation, though we don't know, the speculation is that he's counting that $4.5 million left over from his Senate campaign towards this $6.1 million. Again, I have no proof. I don't know. But the question is out there.
Or how else, like, other than that, who else gave? I mean,
right. Tell us how many donors
general.
And what the average donation was.
Yeah. So that'll come out because I know that they were questioning that when I was watching MSNBC yesterday when the news broke about the big 6.1 million. But let's go back to what you were just starting out with, too. And that is, I'm really sick of the Beto adulation, too.
Yes.
He's fun.
Yep.
He talks like a poetry jammer, you know.
Seems
he's doing
like a nice guy, got a lot of energy. But my God, the coverage is so lopsided.
Out of proportion.
It's ridiculous.
Exactly. And we don't know precisely what he stands for yet. So stop. I mean, let's watch the debates. This is another thing I'm seeing all over the place. People are so pro this and so pro, like, even I'm just looking in the chat room, you know, yay Kamala. I can't remember. I'm not there now. I'm not in the chat room right now, but I just saw, was it Call Me Tripp? That's very pro Kamala. Yes. We don't know enough about her yet. We haven't seen her go up against somebody who debates her yet. Same with yesterday when they were doing an interview. Who was doing it? Chris Matthews. Anyway, he was doing an interview with Cory Booker, which kind of made me gag. I didn't like the interview.
No.
And Cory Booker was basically stump speeching
and
doing a lot of you know, pre-written lines and making jokes and very charming. You know, he's a charming guy. But he wasn't challenged on a couple of things. There wasn't follow-up on a few things. I complained about it yesterday on Twitter. I forgot the line. But I was waiting for it. It was a good question, and somebody got me. Oh, I got it. I might even have it in the tweets coming up. But in case we don't get there, Chris Matthews asked him, is Trump a racist?
Uh-huh.
And Booker couldn't answer that, or wouldn't answer that question directly. He said, well, racists think he's racist, or something like that. And then I think at that point, I think Chris Matthews stopped pushing it and let him go on and on about racists think he's racist and other stuff, and how bad Trump is and how he says bad things. But he would not come out and say Trump is a racist. And so I said, why couldn't you just answer yes?
Yeah.
It's a really easy question.
It
wasn't
really
hardball.
No, not at all.
Yeah. And people were saying to me, well, because he's black and he doesn't want the right jumping all over, you know, saying a black person is saying that, you know, calling Trump a racist. And I said, well, he's not going to get attacked for that anyway. He's going to be attacked regardless of whether he says Trump's
a racist.
Of course.
And, you know, it's best to just be honest and tell us
exactly
what you think.
Exactly. That was my point. Exactly.
Answer the fucking questions.
Just be for if you can't be forthright about that. I mean, that's an easy question.
Mm-hmm.
Then, you know, and answer every question directly. That's what we are hungering for now.
That's it.
And the reason Trump did so well with some people is they say, and I've heard this a number of times now in interviews, he sounds just like us. He talks like me.
Ugh.
There's no bullshitting around. He answers things. He says things. He says what he feels. Well, if that's what appeals to people, I think we need more of that in general anyway in politics.
Mm-hmm.
But when it comes to something as simple as is Trump a racist,
really,
don't wimp out on it.
Yep. I got to tell you, I watched both of the town halls last night. First, I watched Kirsten Gillibrand. Just because it was there and there was nothing else on. And I thought, all right, I should watch it. She's a good speaker. I predict she's not long for the world. She's getting no traction. And I really think the Al Franken thing hurt her. And I don't know what she said. I don't know about, you know, her assertion that 8 women came forward. I guess she wouldn't be lying. I believe that Al Franken was set up. I think it was a concerted plan to oust him from the Senate. I think it was all a setup with that girl who, you know, was Sean Hannity's friend.
I agree.
So and some of the charges were bullshit. I mean, what's her name? I want to say Anna Marie. It's not Anna Marie Cox. It's the other one. Tina Dupuy, who wrote this post about how Al Franken groped her because they were taking a picture and he put his hand around her waist and he grabbed onto her little roll of fat. You know, give me a fucking break. So anyway, I hold that against Kirsten Gillibrand. But even if that weren't an issue, something about her just bugs me.
I'm with you on this. Although I was more impressed with her last night than I have been because I usually find her to be kind of,
you know what? She was good at giving the answers.
She was informed.
Yep.
She gave informed answers and she didn't beat around the bush.
Yep.
She was too hyper for me. It was like she could not wait to do this thing.
Yes.
That annoyed me a little bit, but that's just,
but then, and then I watched Elizabeth Warren, and I love Elizabeth Warren. I love her ideas.
How did she do?
I think she's great. She's a little too, and I know I sound like I'm nitpicking here, and I don't mean to be.
But this is good
constructive criticism. She's a little too enthusiastic. About the question. Somebody asked a question.
It could be.
Oh,
because I think both of them were like that because they're in front of a live audience.
Yeah, I guess. But she was like, oh, yeah, that is, I love that question. And thank you so much. And it was just a bit too much over the top. And oh my God, please stop it, just be real.
That's kind of how Gillibrand was. She was more, instead of that, although she was very hyper, she was more looking with concern.
Yes. Oh, and she was on the verge of tears. She was like, Yeah.
So I think what they did, they were just playing to a large audience. And when you're on stage, and this comes from me being a director and an actress, when you're in front of a large audience, you tend to overplay because you want people in the back to hear and see you.
Yep.
So you speak louder than you should, and you do bigger facial expressions than is comfortable.
Right.
So I'm going to give them that. That's dramatics. That's just, that's just cosmetic. And then, yes, it's worth it. I like to note that as a director. I have little things
that bother me. And things are enlarged on television. And they're on. She was on a stage. It was not like a room like Gillibrand was in where they were surrounded. It wasn't that intimate. It was like an auditorium. And so she's playing
to
the
crowd. I'll give her that.
I get that. And here's the positive thing. Both of them, I loved what they're saying. Here's Kirsten Gillibrand, before she was tapped to fill Hillary Clinton's seat in the Senate when she became Secretary of State, was a conservative blue dog from upstate New York. And to hear her talk about Medicare for all, $15 an hour minimum wage, health care is a right, I'm thinking these are all the things that Bernie Sanders was saying 4 years ago, and people like you poo-pooed him. So now you've jumped on the bandwagon.
Let's put a butt before the Medicare for all. What Gillibrand said was public option.
Right. That's true.
And then that should eventually in a few years lead us to Medicare for all.
You're right. Yeah.
So I'm glad she said it.
Yep.
I'm glad she's willing to put a stepping stone in there.
Yep.
But I don't think for a minute that after public option is in that she'd care if we had Medicare for all or not.
No, I agree.
She purposely said, and then in a few years. I don't believe that for a minute. It's a few years, it's dead in a few years, unless you push for it now.
Yeah.
But start high and then bargain down.
Exactly.
Don't do what Obama did, where he started low.
Where he gave it away, before they even set the table.
Yeah. Right. Exactly. Yeah. Okay, I better move along.
Okay.
I could do this forever with you because they were so interesting.
Yes.
Here's something. Because he just can't quit us. Rosenstein is extending his stay.
It's Rosenstein, not Steen.
I did that on purpose. I was like Rosenstein.
Sure you did. Okay, Donald.
Yeah, no, right. Exactly. Exactly. But anyway, I people who have worked with them, the lawyers that you see on TV.
I call him Rosenstein. I know.
Yeah, they
and
call
it
him that. Yeah.
Bugs me. It just bugs me.
And actually, I saw him on TV. I saw Rosenstein on TV say, I go with either,
really?
I pronounce it Rosenstein.
Huh. Okay. Well.
Yeah. But Rosenstein is extending his stay at the Department of Justice indefinitely.
Yes. Interesting. And I saw something that said he's doing it to protect the investigation. Well, whatever. Good. Let him stay until it's all over with.
Oh, yeah. Somebody else said on TV, I think he's doing it because it's ending and he wants to be there for the end. No. I don't think that's the reason he's doing it.
He said
he was going to stick it out to the end anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So why make this announcement? Anyway, whatever.
Yeah.
Here's something. So Murdoch, this is from Reuters.
Yeah.
Murdoch's new Fox debuts on NASDAQ, names ex-speaker Paul Ryan to the board.
Isn't that interesting how that happens?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's just so cute, isn't it?
Yeah.
They're just one big happy family.
Mm-hmm.
Just Ducky. I love that.
Yeah.
Let's see. What's it? Oh, this was interesting. It was a breaking news alert. Federal, and I don't know who the source was other than my app, but federal prosecutors used a new law signed by Trump to access the Gmail account of his former lawyer, Michael Cohen. That's just irony on top of irony.
Mm-hmm.
It's just fun. Fun fact.
Yeah. Okay.
Now, here's a couple of disturbing ones, really disturbing.
Okay.
And I put these out twice on Twitter because they bothered me so much.
Okay.
Marissa Cabas, I hope I said that right. She's with At Purpose. She wrote from Forward.com, 30 gravestones were vandalized at a Jewish cemetery in Massachusetts with Heil Hitler. Hitler was right. And Oy vey, this is MAGA country, written in black marker.
Oh, my God. Well, I saw they did that to a Ruth Bader Ginsburg poster in, I think, a New York City subway or something.
Yeah. So here's part two of my disturbing tweets of the day. This was a video that I didn't send you because it was so hard to hear, but you can hear it if you really listen. It was Steve Bannon talking to an audience, and a Trump supporter answers him. She says, "Never in my life did I think I'd like to see a dictator, but if there's going to be one, I want it to be Trump." Ugh. And Ms. Molly Rachel, who is an environmentalist, and she tweeted it, and she said, "Yes, you heard that right, just when you think they can't get any more terrible."
Yeah. Yeah.
This is serious. People think these are little individual, you know, oh, that happened over there, and yes, that happened.
It's just a few people. It's not a big movement or anything.
Not like Hitler's movement or anything.
No. Uh-uh.
Don't be silly. Uh-huh. So Marla responded to that, to the Black Marker one, and she said Marla is Marla Wheezy, just a general person and on Twitter that I don't know. And she said, demonizes media critical speech. I guess she's speaking about Trump here. Scapegoats immigrants as invaders. Mm-hmm. Stokes the vile term Jexodus. Riles up frenzied rallygoers to hatred. Radicalizes domestic worldwide terrorism, including synagogue and mosque shooters. Sides with white supremacists and labels self a nationalist. What could go wrong when our president doesn't any of that, right?
Ooh, yeah.
Mm. Oh, God. All right, here's something our friend Angie Coiro, she retweeted a Boing Boing article. Uh-huh. She says, don't laugh, do not laugh, don't, ah, ha, 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 ha. And the article is the following. Politician who opposed mandatory chickenpox vaccine has been hospitalized after getting chickenpox.
I saw that. And I saw the picture, and I don't know if the picture was real or a mock-up, but it was this guy with these red spots all over his
big
face.
Big spots on his
made
face.
Made me laugh.
Yeah, I don't think it's real chickenpox. They look different than that. Yeah. But he, Robert Burioni, a prominent Italian doctor who runs the website Medical Facts, said the incident served as a warning to adults to ensure they were vaccinated because he was an anti-vaxxer. Here's a former Delta, this just broke, senior executive Steve Dixon is White House's pick to be permanent FAA head. Announcement could come as soon as tomorrow.
I guess that's better than Trump's personal pilot.
I would think so, unless this guy is just one another of his personal friends. Who knows? The Devin Nunes thing. Okay, so there's an article in the Washington Post, and it was interesting. This whole Devin Nunes cow, you know, where he's suing the thing you mentioned. He's suing over the tweets.
Yes, he's suing over two fake Twitter accounts. Devin Cow, which is Devin Nunes's cow, and Devin Nunes Mom, which has been around for a while. The cow one is new.
Yeah, the cow one is new, and so he's also suing Liz Mayer, and Twitter.
Yes.
And so two interesting comments from this Washington Post article about that. One is this is almost as if the accounts were created to sound ridiculous in a lawsuit and make it seem frivolous, unless of course this isn't about winning lawsuits, unless this is really just about exacting financial pain on outspoken opponents and making Twitter and others who would dare to run afoul of Nunes think twice. Okay, then goes on way down at the bottom and says also that Nunes is telegraphing an expansive effort to go after people who hurt Republicans with their public discourse, its potential impact, not so much legally as from personal behavior standpoint, should be so casually dismissed. So it's more serious than, you know, people are laughing it off as a frivolous lawsuit.
Well, it's meant to silence any critics. It's like Donald Trump, talking about doing something about Saturday Night Live. They shouldn't be allowed to do this.
Right.
Doesn't matter that it was a rerun that he apparently watched. But the fact that they make fun of him, he says, you know, that shouldn't be allowed. Sorry, First Amendment. Freedom of speech, hello, democracy, stunning. Yes, John Pelosi in the chat room, like the way they destroyed Gawker. That's what it's about. They want to silence any criticisms. And I'm sorry, that's what this democracy is based on, our right to criticize.
There you go. There you go. Yep. On the lighter side of it, though, from Chris Majerian of the LA Times, he said Devin Nunes' lawsuit is already having a big impact. Devin Nunes' cow went from 1,000 to, and I'm looking currently, to 135,000. At the time he wrote that, it was 115,000. So it's grown another 20,000.
I'm one of them. I followed him.
I didn't follow him, but I have been sort of seeing the tweets go by. Now, here's something for you.
Yeah.
Ken Klippenstein retweeted a Wall Street Journal tweet or breaking news tweet. Breaking news, prosecutors have offered to drop solicitation charges against Robert Kraft. That's the one who had the happy ending. Unusual deal that calls for admitting he would have been found guilty. And then Ken Klippenstein says, imagine believing justice is blind. And then another quote from alt NSA account says, wait, the rich old man getting an Alford plea? Shocking. I don't know what Alford means. What is Alford? A-L-F-O-R-D?
Oh, Al Ford? Maybe they said offered and it was a voice recognition thing. Recognition thing. I don't know.
Anyway, yeah. So rich old white guy is getting off.
Yep.
I made it funny.
Yep.
All right. It's gone. The Hill again, breaking.
Yeah.
Another immigrant has died in Border Patrol custody, marking the fourth death in recent months.
Oh, my God.
This was a man who
as to what I was saying before, if any Democrat had done what Donald Trump is doing at the border,
there would be
hearings till the end of time. It would be Benghazi on steroids, and the
any one thing he's done though,
anything, just the emoluments. Yep, you're right.
Anywho. So on to yesterday's now. We'll get through like a couple of these, I guess. I'm going to skip a couple.
Okay,
here's a fun one from Kevin Cruz. This is the second one, Nicole, so you know. Okay. He's an historian. He said, the RNC deputy finance chairman who's under investigation for money laundering is a different guy from the RNC deputy finance chairman who pleaded guilty in a federal fraud case, and they're both different from the RNC finance chairman who's accused of rape and sexual misconduct.
Oh, my God. Well, one of them is Michael Cohen. One of them is that Broidy guy. Elliot Broidy, who was the other client of Michael Cohen's, who apparently fucked a porn star and got her pregnant and paid for an abortion.
I think it was a Playboy.
Oh, okay.
Model.
Six or one, half a dozen of the other. But so I don't know who the third one is, but Steve Wynn. That's the third one. Yep.
Yes. Okay. Yes. Thank you.
Now that we got that.
Here's something that I thought was funny. I got, I was followed by a Trump supporter. And she tweeted me, and in part, her tweet said, Facebook, this is Debbie Metro. I am a intellect.
Okay. Nothing suspicious about that.
Oh, I just love these things. I'll skip this one. Let's see. What's this? You did the Steve King thing, so we don't have to do that. God. That was the where he boasted that he was going to get the red states versus the blue states and 8 trillion
Civil
bullets.
War. Yeah, 8 trillion
Richard
bullets.
Painter responded to that, by the way, and he said, this is treason. Steve King should be expelled from the House immediately.
Yeah, absolutely. He should be.
Yep.
Where's the outrage? Like, they were so outraged over Ilhan Omar, who what she said, I'm sorry, was questionable. I went into great detail on this. I'm not going to relitigate it, but there is some question as to what she, what her intentions were. Steve King's intentions are just to be a fucking bigot.
Oh, yeah. Elie Mystal, who I just love, he's a legal analyst, he said only House Democrats can hold Brett Kavanaugh accountable for the 83 ethics complaints lodged against him. Impeachment is how the Constitution wants us to deal with judges who lie. If Dems didn't want to uphold the Constitution, they shouldn't have run for office.
True that.
He's good. We like him.
Yes, we do. He's very funny.
He is. He's really funny. Yep. He's a big personality. I love that.
Yep.
I covered the Cory Booker thing. Here's something that you'll like, and I know you'll comment on. The New York Post is saying New Zealand gun owners voluntarily giving up firearms in wake of mosque massacre.
Yep.
And, we've had ample opportunity to do the same, but no way, right?
Right.
Yeah. Easy to do.
I know.
Yeah.
Yep.
Are we done? Should I try one more?
Real quick. We got a minute.
Okay. Somebody gave me a quote from their sister in New Zealand. I'll be attending a vigil on Wednesday evening here. Our prime minister performed like a real human instead of a caricature. And she goes on to talk.
But and has done a number of things. All funeral expenses will be covered for the victims, and their families will be taken care of. That that is a real leader. The Prime Minister of New Zealand, who is the first world leader to give birth while in office, I think, ever, is awesome. And she taught Donald Trump a lesson there. That is how a leader acts. That is empathy and sympathy and real emotion, something that he wouldn't know anything about.
But he doesn't know how to take a lesson, so it's wasted on
Of course. Oh, God. Well, yeah, sickening. Anyway, with that, we are out of time. Gotta Laugh. Find her on the Twitters at Gotta Laugh and here Tuesdays. Thank you, Laffy.
Thank you, too.
Bye. See you tomorrow. Bye, everyone.